If we sin against God, there's no way that we can communicate with Him. Because when we sin against God, the first tendency will try to cover up our sin. And the second, we try to hide ourselves. And the third, we'll become very afraid. And the fourth, we will not, if we don't repent properly, we'll try to blame the things that we sin against God to other people and to the situation that's around us. But on the end, we can see that they will all curse, right? The man, the woman, and also the serpent, they will all curse. So it is God's justice. So in other words, there's no way that you and I will sin and we'll get away with it. If that is the mentality, that's why when we go before our Lord Jesus Christ to pray before Him, the best way to pray is to ask Him to forgive us for our sin. You don't need to hide it. Remember Saul, right? Saul, King Saul. Actually, King Saul, he sinned against God. But when Samuel went to him and told him, what was Saul's sin? What was his sin? What did he do to sin against God, King Saul? What was his sin? Yes, first, God told him, when you go to the land and destroy your enemy, you destroy everything. But actually, he kept all the good things. Then Samuel said to him, why do you keep all those good things? And what did he say? Yes, he said, you're going to sacrifice it to God. Right? So that's why Samuel said, no, it's better to obey than sacrifice. So in other words, we must do what is right first in the eyes of God. And then we can go and pray to Him. Sacrifice is praying. So we live a life of sin, then we go before our Lord Jesus Christ to pray before Him. And this sin cannot reach all the way to heaven. So that's why it's so important. We want to live a life of prayer. Before we can live a life of prayer, you and I must live a life of righteousness, of holiness. And only then, when we go in front of our Lord Jesus Christ, then our Lord Jesus Christ can hear our prayer. I remember one time a sister, because every time she comes to church, you just feel that she's very far from God. Then she wanted to make determination. And this determination that for this whole month, she's going to try to live a very righteous life. She tried not to sin against God at all. So for the whole month, and she managed to sin very little in front of God. So when she went to church, she kneeled down and prayed. And the minute she kneeled down and prayed, she saw an angel came down. And this angel, every time she prayed, an angel took, it's like an incense coming out of her. So the angel would take this incense and put it in a basket. Then he brought this basket and went to heaven. And the way she felt the time that God heard her prayer. But then the angel came back with another basket. And this time when he came, he's like closing his nose, right? Because it seemed like something is very smelly. And then there's some other brothers and sisters who, you know, maybe live a life, not a righteous life. Maybe they have sinned God throughout the whole month. So the angel took all this bad smelling aroma, put it in a basket and bring it down. We don't know where he bring, but he brought it down instead of up. So that's why it's very important, brothers and sisters. It's so much better to obey than sacrifice. Why? Because when you and I sacrifice, when we offer a prayer to God, and we don't live a life of righteousness, then our prayer will be in vain. So that's why for Saul, he always makes excuses. And the same thing, before they went to battle, and Sam told him to wait for him. But instead, what did Saul do? Instead of waiting for Samuel to make sacrifice, what did Saul do? He offered sacrifice. And then when Samuel asked him, why did you make the sacrifice? And what did he say? What did he say? What did he say? What did Saul say when Samuel said, why did you offer the sacrifice? Remember what he said? He said, I wait for you for so long and you didn't show up. And all these people, they were going crazy, right? So I need to do something. So we make that sacrifice. And right after we make the sacrifice, guess who came by? With Samuel, right? Just like that. So in other words, it's very important for us to obey. Because for him as a king, he cannot sacrifice. Only a priest can sacrifice during a time. So that's why it's so important. When you and I want to do things that are right in church, but before we can do the things that are right in church, we must live a life of righteousness and holiness and be able to be obedient to God. You can see Adam and Eve, they can hear the footstep of God walk in the cool of the day in the garden. They can hear the voice of God speaking to them. I'm sure that many of us want to be in the presence of the Lord. Every time we kneel down and pray, we want God to speak to us. But if we want God to speak to us, you and I must live a life of holiness and righteousness. The minute we sin against God, it's very difficult to go in front of the holy God and communicate with him. Why? Because there's sin inside of us. Even though we have the desire to go in front of him, but we cannot. Why? Because sin inside of us. So that's why every time for me, every time I kneel down and pray, I always ask God, please forgive me for my sin from yesterday and today and tomorrow. Why? Because every day I sin against God also. But the most important thing is you and I must repent and make sure the sin that we're committing is not leading to death, so the blood of Christ can continue to cleanse us from all the wrongdoing. Because all of us have weaknesses. But make sure we try our best to live a life of holiness and righteousness. And only then that you and I can truly communicate with God. Really, you will. I mean, how many of you feel that at least once in your life when you prayed, you felt that God was right in front of you? How many of you? Please raise your hand. Thank God there's many of you. And this is the kind of experience that we need to have. Why? Because look at Peter, right? Remember Peter when he went to the mountain transfiguration and he saw Jesus Christ glorified right in front of him. And he was so joyful. And he said, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. If Peter say that, where Peter going to sleep? Right? He going to stay up there too, right? If you make only 3 tents, this means it's none for him. So for him, it's okay for him to sleep outside on top of the mountain with nothing there as long as he's with our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a kind of feeling that you have when you have a close relationship with him. So that's why when Peter, at an old age, he still remembered that day on the holy mountain, because the experience that he had put such a great impression upon him. So the same thing, brothers and sisters, these 10 days, please, at least pray, right? To the point that you can really experience God in front of you. Because this experience will give you strength to continue on. Because this world is very wicked, really, everywhere we go. But if we experience our Lord Jesus Christ, and if we have that kind of experience with him, then you and I always yearn for him and have desire for him. So make sure whatever sin that you and I commit, go in front of him. We do not need for our Lord Jesus Christ to say, where are you? Right? What are you doing? Why are you hiding? Why are you afraid? But rather go before him, because he is a merciful God. He's a merciful God. But of course, we have to try our best not to sin against him willingly every day. But if we have weaknesses and we cannot overcome it, then for sure, we pray to him and he will help us. Okay? Now let's go to another prayer. And this one, if we pray, we must pray in faith. Because in Hebrew chapter 11 is the hall of faith. Those who pray in faith. And God said, those who are without faith cannot please him. So that's why when you and I pray before God, we must have faith. What does faith mean? What is the definition of faith? What is the definition of faith? Yes, faith. Okay, Hebrews 11 verse 1. Can Jesse was gonna say it, right? Pray what? Yeah, believe is something not seen, but something you hope for. You know, when my nephew, he's riding his bicycle, right? Then his bicycle broke. Then he came back to the garage. He said, "Uncle, can you fix it?" I said, "Uncle, can you fix my bike for me?" And what did he do when he said that? He just went to play basketball, right? Why? Because he had faith that his uncle would fix his bike. So when after he came for after basketball, then he didn't even ask me, "Did you fix the bike?" No. He took his bike and then started riding it. You understand? Because he knows that he has the faith when he asked me to fix that bike, I will be able to fix it for him. And I'm only a human being. Can you imagine our God? So that's why when we kneel down and pray, and in concluding our prayer, we say what? Amen. Amen is mean everything I have said will come to pass. Everything that I have asked have come to pass, but according to your will. This is faith. So without faith, it's very difficult to see afar. Because without faith, when you and I pray, just think about it. Without faith, when we pray, there's no way that this prayer can reach all the way to heaven. That's why let's study Abel and Cain. Cain and Abel, chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 2. Genesis chapter 4, verse 2. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground, verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord, verse 4. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. Burnt offering, right, our offering, nowadays represent our prayer. My offering to God, make an offering to God, make a prayer to God. So that's why early during the prayer session, right, Pastor, you had to stop everything, right? Because you guys not praying your best. You're not giving your all, right? Can you imagine if you talk to someone, every time you talk to someone, you're yawning in front of them, right? How would they feel? Right? They would not feel happy, right? So for me, when I speak to my wife, I have to look at her directly like this, right? And even though sometimes I cannot listen to everything, but I have to pretend I'm listening, right? The minute I look at somebody else, like, why are you not listening? That's what she said, why are you not listening, right? I say, I am listening. If you're listening, you must look at me, right? That I'm talking. You understand? So when we talk to God, where's our mind? When we pray, hallelujah, like that, right? Then we say in such a small voice, how can you communicate with true and living God like that? That's why, Pastor, you had to stop the prayer, because for him, he cannot stand it anymore, you understand? That you guys must give your all, right? You're so young, right? You're so young, you're full of energy, right? But why, when it comes to prayer, you guys become so weak? It doesn't make sense, right? Why? Because actually prayer is a spiritual strength. That's why sometimes you can be able to kneel down and pray for 1 hour, and you feel this 1 hour go by just like that, because you're in the Spirit of the Lord. When you're in the Spirit of the Lord, there's no time and space. You understand? It goes by so quickly. Really, there's one elder, actually, he's from Canada, from Toronto. Elder Mountain Huang, right, they call him. He just passed away not so long ago, right? He's 103 years old. 103 years old. And every time he used to come for the minister workshop, minister workshop, in the morning we pray 1 hour, right? In afternoon we also pray 1 hour. And every time before, during the prayer session, he would sit by in the front pew and listening. At 100 years old, what is there to learn, you understand? At 100 years old, what is there to learn from a young person? So one time I was leading the prayer session, I look at him like, you know, he's like almost triple my age already, right? What can he learn from me? But he's there with his notebook. And write. And the minute we kneel down and pray, he prayed for 1 hour without stopping. No, on the end of his prayer, you know what happened? He can't get up. Because all his joints are so old, so it's all locked, right? So he just go to the side, just lay there, right? Then we go there and help him out, right? And let him sit, right? For me, when I look at this kind of prayer, it's so amazing. At 100 years old, you can pray for 1 hour, 2 hours in a day. And kneel, right? And kneel so straight for 1 hour. Wow, this kind of spirit of praying, it really touched me greatly. So that's why for us as young men, as young women, we are full of energy. Because I know that you're full of energy. When you guys talking to one another and this and that, get all excited, right? And last night during the fellowship, right? You guys at the brother fellowship, they're right, you're all so loud, right? At 10 o'clock at night, you're full of energy, right? And me and Pastor Ye, we're like, oh, we're sleeping already, right? You understand? But for you, you're full of energy. So make your prayer like that. Make your prayer like that. The only way that your prayer become like that, you must communicate with God with faith. So here, who was the tiller of the ground? Who was the tiller of the ground? Cain. Cain was the tiller of the ground. During that time, think about this. During that time, did they eat meat yet during that time? No. They're all vegetarian during that time, right? So Cain, he was the tiller of the ground. This means everything that he make or everything that he grow is for food. What about Abel? What was he? Huh? He's a shepherd, a keeper of a sheep. Why did he keep the sheep? For what? What's that? You don't know. Why he keep the sheep? For what? He can't eat them. What's that? I'm sorry? Oh, no, remind them. During that time, they're not going to kill the animals if they don't eat them, right? You understand? Because during that time, you don't need that kind of stuff. Remember, yes, maybe it's somewhat for their womb, stuff like that, but, you know, you can only one set of clothing and it lasts for a long time, especially when it comes to things like that, right? Why do you think he keep, why do you think he's a shepherd? Yes? Yes! That's the only purpose, you understand? So he became a shepherd what? To what? To grow the best sheep. The fatted sheep. To what? To offer to God. That's his whole purpose. There's no other purpose. He cannot sell it. He cannot eat it. Because if you don't eat it, how can you sell to anybody, right? But for Cain, he was a tiller of the ground. Why? So he can make those, whatever he grow, and he eat it for himself. And then what happened when he tried to offer to God? It didn't say that he gave the best or not, right? Look at verse 3. And in the process of time came past that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. We don't know it's good or bad. Just say we brought a fruit, grain up from the ground, right? Offering from the ground. But God was not pleased, that is for sure. God was not pleased. If you think about it, right? If you read in Leviticus, all the most important offering actually is of animals, right? Of animals. And I'm sure that Cain knew that. I'm sure that Abel also knew that. But the problem is, Cain maybe think, look, why do I have to raise sheep? For what? You understand? For what? I only use it to sacrifice to God. And what's the point of that? I don't gain anything from it. But then Abel, his mentality is different. I want to be the shepherd. Why? So I can raise the sheep so I can offer to God only. And that is faith. So the same thing for us. When we do things in life, the main reason we want to do it because we want to glorify God's name. Right? If you want to go to the best school, for example, for what? Of course, it's good to have a good education. It's good to make a lot of money. But for you, the end thought is that if I make a lot of money, I can offer to God. I can offer to the church. That's why I want to go to a good school. That's why I want to get a good job. And that is the mentality you and I need to have. Everything we do. When we kneel down and pray, remember, we're praying to the true and living God. So everything we ask of Him, we must have faith. If we don't have faith, then God will not be pleased. When God is not pleased with us, and then what happened? then our prayer becomes very weak. Why? Because every time we offer, no, it's not being accepted by God. Just like here. Let's go to verse 5. Because God respected Abel's offering, right? Verse 5. But he did not respect Cain's offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So quite often nowadays, when you and I kneel down and pray to God, how do we feel? Well, think about this. Do we feel that like praying is a waste of time? Do we feel that prayer is so burdensome? Do we just feel prayer does not accomplish anything? If we have that kind of mentality, then there's no way we can put all the effort into prayer. When we communicate with a person that is very important, we will communicate in the right manner, right? When we communicate to a person that we respect, that we honor, the way we speak, what we say, is also very important. So that's why when we go in front of God, we communicate with Him, then we must do it by faith. When we do it by faith, then God will respect our offering. God will hear our prayer. And this is the most important thing because no one would like to talk to themselves. If you talk to yourself, you become a crazy person, right? Right? So every time we kneel down and pray, we feel that God is not in front of us. God is not listening to our prayer. How do we feel? We just feel like, what a waste of time. So really the first thing, we cannot be like Adam. Don't pray in sin. God is never going to be able to hear us. We must repent before Him. Then we must pray in faith. Because only by faith, when we pray, God will hear us. And besides these two things, this from the beginning already, right? God teaches how to pray to Him, how to communicate with Him. And of course, later on, because Cain was so angry, he killed his brother Abel. He killed his brother Abel, and it is very sad. Right? When he killed his brother Abel, and then look at verse 16, chapter 4, verse 16 in the book of Genesis. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. So here, tell us one thing. When you and I live a life of sin, then there's no way that you and I can stand in front of God and stand in His presence. Instead, Cain went where? From the presence of the Lord. You know, Hades. What is the definition of Hades? When you go to the lake of fire, what is the definition of Hades or the lake of fire? Without the presence of the Lord. I remember one time doing NYTS. And that night, there's a lot of evil spirit. Like many brothers and sisters have seen evil spirit in church because that church was full of division and full of chaos. And at night when, you know, I knew that because at nighttime I felt that Satan is everywhere that night. So I didn't want to fall asleep because if I fall asleep, I know he's going to come and bother me. So that night, it's like five evil spirits came to bother me. And the last one, he was so powerful. I felt that he wrapped his arms around me and he took me to a different dimension. A different world. And this dimension is full of darkness. And all I heard was women and children screaming in torment. Yelling and screaming in torment. And this kind of screaming and yelling I never heard in my life. When I heard the way they scream, you just feel this chill go through your whole body. And the place is full of darkness. And I realized one thing. That in that place, God was not there. And that is the most frightening thing. So because of this, then I continue to cast him out, right? I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to die. And then I was praying, God, please, right? Hallelujah, please cast it out. And this place is so terrible. So terrible. And I keep thinking, God is not here. That's why the place the way it is. Then thank God as I continue to pray, and I saw there's a bright light in the corner, very small. It became bigger and bigger, and then all of a sudden, it shone right in front of me. Then my spirit and my soul came back to my body. And thank God, I never want to experience that kind of place again. So here, when he said, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. And where did he go? He dwelt in the land of Nod. You know what the Nod mean? N-O-D? Yes, wandering. Wandering. So in other words, what? He wanders all over the place. When you wander all over the place, this means you have no place to call home, right? You don't have your own place. You cannot settle. So because of this, look what? Look at all his descendants, right? So that's why it's very important. When you and I kneel down and pray before God, we go in front, in the presence of the Lord. And this is the most beautiful thing that you and I can experience. So that's why when we come up to pray together, don't take it very lightly. Don't think that it's something is so, you know, burdensome. But we must transcend our thought. We must have the faith to see when we kneel down, God is right in front of us. God is right in front of us. And he's waiting for us to communicate with him. He's waiting to hear our hearts, our minds, our thought. So that's why. Because Cain sinned greatly against God, he wandered from the presence of the Lord. Because of this, his descendants, right? His descendants. Of course, during this time, he has the Lamech, right? Lamech had two wives, right? And their name was Ada and Zillah, right? And Cain, he bore Enoch, right? And what did Cain do for Enoch? What did Cain do for Enoch? What's that? What did Cain do for Enoch? Build him a city. Is that something good? Can you imagine, right? You come to Los Angeles and the name is David Penn, right? David Penn. And the reason this city is named after you because your dad built it for you, right? How awesome is that? Right? How awesome is that? Right? The city of David Penn, right? It just sounds good, right? And I'm sure every son would love for their father to build them a city after them, right? But look at this, another Enoch too, right? What is the other Enoch? What did he do? Did his father build him a city for him too? That Enoch, what did he do? What does that Enoch do? That Enoch, what did he do? It's in the Bible, you know. Enoch, by faith, Enoch. Yes, walk with God. So which one you rather, right? You want your father to build a city after you, you want to walk with God. Which one? Yes, you say that now. You understand? You say that now. Every one of us, we're like, yes, I want to walk with my God. But the minute someone offers you, okay, either you walk with your God, I'm going to build your city. Which one you want? I'm sure a lot of us, we want someone to build a city after us. And that's why we try so hard in the world, right? Think about it, right? You go to college for how many years, right? You get your PhDs, right? How many years? Let me see, 12 years in high school, right? 4 years in college, that's 16 years. Another 4 years, another 6 years, maybe 20-something years, right? To get what? To get a piece of paper. And they say, oh, you're doctor so-and-so, right? When you reach 60 years old, you think it matters? You guys don't even know what I do. You don't care what I do, right? And I'm only in my 40s, you understand? Because when you reach at that certain age, it's not important if you're a doctor or something, right? What's so important about that? But I'm not saying you should not be a doctor, right? Go and get your PhD. Go and do this and do that, right? But I'm saying, let's put the value where it is. A piece of paper. And tell you that you're a doctor. Maybe you're not even a good doctor, right? But this piece of paper says you're a doctor and that you're a doctor, right? Don't you want much more for God to write your name? Right? In the book of life. Don't you want that, right? Don't you want to walk with God, right? Don't you want to do that? The same thing. We all have choices nowadays. The same thing too. Right now, actually, what we're doing that our Father's not even building a city for us. He just wants to build a house for us. And sometime what? We leave our Lord Jesus Christ with a little house. a little job, right? For what? But I'm not saying that you should be lazy, do nothing. I'm not saying that. You go to school and try your best. Get your 3 PhDs if you want to, right? But never put those things before God. No matter what, you put God first. Then God will be the one to give you 3 PhDs, right? To give you a great job. And that is so much better, right? So this is why we must really compare the things of this world compared to things in God. So here, look. He built, right, King built his son a city. And then Enoch, he had a son that continued. Then he had Lamech. And this Lamech, he's nothing but a sinner, you understand? Even though the Lamech, what did he do for his son? Look at verse 20, right? And Adah bore Jubal, and he was a father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. So what does this mean? Those who live, he's a father what? What does this mean he's a father? He's the father of those who dwell in tents. What does that mean? What does that mean? He's the father's mean. He's the one, right? They control over all what? Maybe all the real estate during that time, right? Tent is for people to live in, right? Maybe it's like Donald Trump. You understand? He's the father of real estate, right? So then his other son is what? Verse 2, his brother's name was Jubal. All the names are a little crazy, right? He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. What do you mean harp and flute? This means actually, he's the father of everything if it comes to entertainment, right? He's the father of it. Anything to do with entertainment, right? Any instrument and stuff, he's the father of it. This means they make plenty of money, right? Verse 22. And of Zelah, she also bore Tubal Cain, instructor of AV craftsmen and bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal Cain was Naamath. You see, they are father of everything, right? They're father of this, they're father of that. But actually, if you read, it never mentioned that they live, that they begot someone. Actually, in the eyes of God, their life don't even exist. You understand? And look at from chapter 5 on. Look how they describe Adam, verse 3. And Adam lived 100, right? And he begot Seth, this and that, right? And afterward, you see, Seth lived, right? Then verse 9, Enoch lived, right? In eyes of God, you see, because that's a time that they began to call on the name of the Lord. And in the eyes of God, even though the other Enoch have a city built after him, but that Enoch walked with God. So this is what it's all about. So for us, of course, we do our best to become wealthy. It's okay. It's nothing wrong to be rich. You want to buy a Ferrari, you can afford it, fine. Do it up, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But make sure in the process of doing it, you don't put God on the side. In the process of doing it, that you don't lose God as your God. And that is the most important thing. You can see Abraham, right? He was quite rich, right? Abraham was very rich. But he always put God first in his life. Everywhere he goes, he built a tent. And then after, when he built a tent, he built an altar right where he built his tent. An altar of the Lord, that is. So for us, the same thing. Everything we do in life, we do because we want to glorify God's name. Everything we do in life, because we want God's name to be glorified. So, sky is the limit for you and I. But make sure we put God first. And that's the most important thing. If not, yes, you can gain many things in this world. Really, when my father was, my adopted father was, when he was dying from cancer in the hospital, and this other man, was very wealthy man, was next to him. And the doctor told him he has only a couple of weeks to live. And that man has no family, no children, no nothing. So the man asked the doctor, please, can you give me another month to live? If you give me one more month to live, I give you all that I have. I mean, when the doctor heard that, I'm sure he was very happy, right? We'd be able to do something for that man, right? But what did the doctor say? I'm sorry, Mr. So-and-so. I can't. I cannot guarantee that you can live another month. And then actually only 2 days later, that man passed away. And all the thing that he owned, where does it go when you die without any kind of relative? Where does it go? Huh? I'm sorry? Where does it go when you die? You have no family members, things like that. Where does it go? All your property and stuff like that. Yes, go to the state. All those time you work for what? For nothing, you understand? He's willing to, if he can live an extra month, he can give all that he had to the doctor. All that he had to live an extra month. So quite often, you and I are not too smart, right? We work to the point that we become sick, right? We try to make money, so we work to the point we become sick, we go to the hospital, and then spend all the money we work for to pay for ourselves being sick, right? Of course, thank God, if you have a good job, you can have good insurance, right? But if you don't do that, I know a brother, he did not come to church for a while. And one day, his sister looked at him, and his sister said to him, "Why are your eyes all yellow?" He went to the doctor. For the first week, was over $100,000. He has no insurance, right? Because at the time, he works for like under the table, that kind of stuff, right? Worked so hard. All those years, he saved $100,000. Within 1 week, it's gone. Then the doctor told his family. His family are not members or anything like that. So the doctor asked the family, "What do you want to do? Because if you want to keep him on a life preserver, they estimate about $1.1 million for 1 month." What do you think the family said? "We have no money to pay for that." 5 days, 6 days later, the brother died from liver failure, right? His liver was completely gone. Who knew? He was my age. During that time, he was in his late 30s and early 40s. Overnight, he just passed away like that. But of course, dying is not the important part. Dying without Christ, that's what's the important part. If we die with Christ, we don't want to come back again, right? Just like Paul, he went to the third heaven, and he didn't want to come back. Why? Because the third heaven is so beautiful. It's a place that you and I want to be. So if we compare ourselves, the things of this world, really, this world, of course, has a lot of benefits, right? It's good to be rich. There's nothing wrong to be rich. But I cannot stress enough. And being rich with our Lord Jesus Christ, you have no peace, you have no joy inside your heart. I have a friend, right? He opened his own business. He became a millionaire overnight. He's only in his 20s. And you know what the thing he's afraid of the most? Because now he's still single. I think he's still single. And the thing that he's afraid the most, that he will marry someone, they just want to take his money. So because of this, he doesn't get close to any, he doesn't want to get married. What a shame, right? Because why? Because for him, all he's thinking about is his money. So now, like, all the friends that he had when we were in high school and stuff like that, we don't hang out together. They don't hang out together anymore. Why? Because he's afraid that the friends will try to take his money or something like that, right? All he cares about is that, right? And now I'm sure that he's lonely by himself somewhere, right? Yeah, he's just lonely. That's why, can you imagine, right, if you're stuck somewhere in a jungle by yourself, you have $1 million, right? And what are you going to do with it? What's that? What are you going to do with it? Nothing. If you're in a jungle with $1 million, right? You have nowhere else to go. You're stuck in a jungle. What are you going to do with $1 million? You probably burn it when you get cold. You understand? Use that mic because it burns pretty good. You understand? So money only worth what the society put the worth to it, right? How much it's worth? It's society put that, right? But overall, I mean, the only thing that, you know, of course, I'm not saying to have money is bad. To have money is really good. But do not trust only money to bring you peace, to bring you joy. One day you drive a Ferrari. You think you'd be happy driving a Ferrari? You'd be really happy if God is with you, you understand? And you can drive an old beat-up car. If God is with you, you also be happy. The same thing, you understand? So it's not the car that make you happy or make you unhappy, right? If an old car can make you happy, go out and buy all the old car. You drive, you'll be all happy, right? But no, it's not the car that you buy, and it's not the house that you live in that what makes your life joyful or not. It's if Christ is with you or not. Really, and I hope that one day all of you buy the biggest house you can, and buy your favorite car to drive, and you have Christ inside of you. And that's what's so beautiful. And let allow God to bless us in that way, right? Let's continue. Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. You know, I'm sure that many of you know how important it is to pray to God. But the way we pray is very important. We must pray without sin. We must pray without pride. We must pray with faith. That's what you and I need to do. Here in chapter 11, we know it's very, every one of us is very familiar with this, right? Chapter 11 is where they want to build the Tower of Babel. Right? The Tower of Babel. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. Verse 2. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. So here in verse 1 says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. Was it always like this? Was it always like this? Was it always like this? One language and one speech, the whole earth. Was it always like that? It'd be nice, right? If everyone speak the same language, right? You know, it just, I don't know what language it is, but whatever language it is during that time, everybody spoke one language, and then we have no translation in church, only translation. And I can't go to visit all our Chinese members and stuff like that without bringing anybody with me, right? Because we all can understand one another, right? But actually, it was not God's intention for them to have one language and one speech. Why? Because before, look at verse 20, chapter 10, verse 20. Chapter 10, verse 20. This was the son of Ham, according to their families, according to their what? According to their what? Languages, right? It's born in one language, right? One language. They say here, languages. And then, look at verse 31. These were the sons of Shem, according to their families, according to their languages, in their land, according to their nation. So he actually was more than one language. Why did God want them to have more than one languages? Because God wanted them to scatter, right, all over the earth and subdue the land. That was God's will. Go and multiply. But the people did not want to do that. They just want to all gather together. Like gather together. And then, verse 3. Then they say to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had bricks for stone and they had ephah as their mortar. So here, actually one language is very important to have. But what we do with this one language, that's what's important, right? If all of us can speak one language, there's nothing can stop us. And now we also have one language. And what is that language that we speak? What is the language that we speak? You know the language that you and I speak all together? We have one language, right? And the same thing too, when we communicate with God, we all have the same language. What do you think that is? What language is this? Cambodian? No, right? What language do we speak? What is that? Yes, spiritual language, right? Unknown language. That's what we're speaking. So in other words, right? If you want to communicate with God, you must know that language. If you want to communicate with one another, you must know that language. And that is the language from the Holy Spirit. So that's why, if you and I do not pray, we cannot have the same language. And if we don't have the same language, when we go to meeting, when we discuss a certain situation, we never agree because we don't understand each other. You understand? We don't understand each other. If I say to you right now, Kyom Salang Pre Yesu, right? What am I say? What did I say? Huh? Something about Jesus, right? Right? And sometimes when we communicate each other, we think like, yeah, something about that, right? Right? Something about that. But I didn't really understand what you say, right? I say, I love our Lord Jesus, right? That's why I say it in Khmer, right? In Cambodian, right? So, but if you don't understand what I'm saying, how can we communicate one another? I'm not talking about the physical language. That we all can speak English, we all can speak in Taiwanese, we all can speak in Chinese. But we still cannot understand each other. Why? Because the spirit inside of us is not the same. In the sense that we don't pray enough. There's one thing, I've been to NCC for many years, right? And because my name is Noel Mantee, I always sit in the back, right? So quite often I always observe. No, the brother and sister who cause the most problem, you know, they stir up a lot of problems during NCC, right? Are the delegate who are what? Why you think they cause so much problem, right? One thing I notice, during prayer, they don't pray, they just walk out, they use their phone and this and that, right? They don't pray. Then when they come to talk about the situation in church or for the church, they're not one accord, they're not one mind. Because they're not speaking the same language. So whatever they're saying up here, they always argue, they always go against it, right? Because they don't pray. And it's not a coincidence, right? I've been to NCC many years. Maybe, 13 years? 12, 13 years, right? And I observe exactly the same thing. Anyone who do not want to kneel down and pray, no, they don't want to kneel down and pray, they just go out and do things, they're the one who will cause a problem during meetings. It's very interesting. So the same thing, brothers and sisters. One day you will become council members. One day become IE teachers. One day you will do holy work for the church. And for us to be able to communicate with one another, we must speak the same language. And that language is the language of the Holy Spirit. When you and I kneel down together. And when we pray. So that's why, like I share with you, of course, once in a while I argue with my wife. Right? Because my wife, she's Vietnamese, I'm Cambodian, right? But we never hardly argue to the point that we are yelling and screaming at one another, no. Why? Because when we pray together, our thought, our hearts, our mind, we all one accord. Because of this, there's nothing to argue about. Just like this one brother, right, when I was a TTP student, when I was a theological training program, and this older brother, yeah, he's just the opposite of me. Really, he just, we cannot get along. But we cannot get along at all, right? Because he does strange things. He probably thinks I'm strange too, right? Because of this, we cannot get along. After 1 month of prayer, we became best friends. He's like my BFF. He called me the other day, and he left a message. He used my whole, all the voicemail. He used the whole thing, right? He keep talking, right? But before, we didn't get along at all because we prayed with one another for 5 months straight. Just every morning we pray, and after we pray, because of this, we become so close. We don't understand why. We have no idea why, but we know it's the Holy Spirit that brings us together. Even now, right? He needs something, he calls me. Right? He just call and say, hi, how are you, this and that. Before, there's no way you're going to do that, you understand? There's no way. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. So when you get married, if you want to, you know, your spouse to be your BFF, you must pray a lot. If you pray a lot with your spouse, there's no way you're going to argue. There's no way you're going to fight. The same thing as brother and sister in church. We come to church, pray together, and the Holy Spirit will, you know, will move us in the midst of us. Then everything we talk only one language. That is God's will. So please remember this. It's very important. Very important. So that's why here, look, God himself said, look at verse 7, chapter 11, verse 7. 11:7. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language that they may not understand one another's speech. And then, I'm sorry, let's read verse 6. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they began to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. When the people are one, when they speak one language, they can do everything. But here, God says exactly the same thing too. But the problem is their purpose was wrong. What they want to do is wrong. Why? Because they want to be like God. So for us, if we are one mind, one accord, If we speak the same language, the language of the Holy Spirit, that language is according to God's will, there's nothing stopping us from continuing to grow in church. But now there's so many misunderstandings, right? We just don't understand one another. Sometimes during council meeting, people get upset, they walk out, right? Throw this, throw that, right? It's hard to believe, but that's what it comes to nowadays. Because if we don't understand one each other, how frustrating that is, right? You know how frustrating it is if you talk to someone, they don't understand you don't understand them, right? Remember when I was in theological training program, I was the only student. So when they send the instructor from Taiwan, when they come to teach me after the translator go home, me and the instructor just look at each other, right? That's it. Ni hao, right? And then one an. That's it. That's the two things, right? Usually say, we say good morning, jiao, right? So I see him in the morning, I say jiao, right? Good morning, right? Then at nighttime, one on, that's it, right? That's it. That's all we say. All through the day, when the translator is not there, you know how frustrating it is? Because we try to do things together, we do not know what to say, what to do, right? And one time, because in Pacifica, you guys in Pacifica, it's very depressing, right? You go there. It's always cold, it's always dark, it's always very dreary. So during that time, me and this instructor from Taiwan, we cannot communicate. We don't know what to say, what to do one another, right? Then one time we found a ping pong ball, right, inside the house. And he's trying to tell me, okay, let's do something with this ping pong ball, right? And I just didn't understand what he's saying, right? Then he's telling me, okay, let's put the table together, right? So we put the table together, but there's no paddle to play the ping pong, right? Then he was going like this, right? I'm like, what are you talking about, right? He's like, let's play with our hands, is what he's saying, right? So he get the ping pong ball, he hit it, and then I'm like, oh, he want me to play with my hands too, right? But you know how frustrating that is, not to understand one another? And I'm sure too with him, he tried to tell me things, right? Because he's an instructor. He want to teach me things. He want to share things with me, but he cannot. He cannot. So because of this, what he does, he just, you know, try to do our best to communicate one another. Can you imagine in church, if you and I don't pray a lot, we're not in one accord, and we try to do work for our Lord Jesus Christ, we try to do this, we try to do that, but we still don't understand each other. Then it becomes very frustrating. That's why quite often serving God, if you're on a council member, right? If you're council members, it's very difficult. Sometimes you want to quit. Right? Sometimes you want to give up. If that is the case, we must pray more. So that's why as congregation, right, you guys are young. How many of you really pray for the council members of your church every day? How many of you? Okay, only Kevin. What about sisters? You guys pray for the council member every day. You kneel down and pray for the council members. Right? You probably never thought of it, right? But they're the one that doing God's business. They're the one that God have chosen to run the church for that 2 years. So it's important that all of you must pray for them so they can be in one accord. If they're one accord, then things will get done very easily, right? Look at Dallas, right? We tried to build a church for how many years? 3 years already, right? For 3 years, we tried to build a church. Oh, man. Not trying to build a church. Try to get permit to build a church. Okay? That's even worse, right? We didn't get through the process of permit to build a church yet. But thank God. Last week, they approved for us to break ground. Oh, hallelujah. That was a really big break for us, right? 3 years later. And during these 3 years, many councils have quit, right? Many councils have given up, right? Because everybody speak all different languages, even though most of us are Taiwanese there, right? And then people can still speak English. They can communicate one another. But spiritually, no one can communicate to one another. So that's why it's so frustrating. So remember, if we want to build something great, we must speak the same language. If we want to be able to communicate with God, we must speak this language also. There's no way you can speak any other languages that God can understand. I'm not saying that God can understand. God can understand everything, right? But the language, what? The Spirit. The Spirit. One time, there's a brother in Africa. During that time, he was not a church member yet. He was an assistant pastor of another church. Then when he prayed, then he's French speaking, his first language is French. So when he prayed, God in French wrote to him. Right? No, not yet. Before he reached there, when he saw a vision, this vision, this old man, right, this old man dressed in white, and this old man took him with him. Then this old man started to talk to him in this language that he has no idea what it was. And then the brother asked the old man, please, can you speak to me in French so I can understand what you're saying? Because I don't understand the language you're speaking. Then the old man still continued to speak to him in that language. And then this old man brought him to a bunch of people. And these people also spoke to him in this language. The same language as the old man. And he's like, I do not understand. Please speak to me. By either in French or in English, I can't understand you. But they continue to speak to him in this language. And then before he ended his dream, his vision, there's a writing. He said, go to True Jesus Church, the true church of God. So during the time, he did not know even there's a True Jesus Church during the time. So it was in Accra, Ghana during the time. So he looked, you know, he tried to find out, then he found out that we have a church in Accra. So there was a time he went in and he opened the door. The minute he opened the door to the chapel, guess what happened? What was the members doing? Praying. And he fell on his knee and started crying. Because the way the members pray, it sounds exactly like the old man spoke to him. Like the people who spoke to him in heaven. Then he became a believer. Then he became a pastor. Right? The same language. So for us, don't think, because sometimes when people come to a church, right, they cannot, they kneel down and they try to, you know, they don't have the Holy Spirit. So of course, they're not going to feel comfortable, right? Because quite often if you go someplace and you go to a table and you sit there and they don't speak the language you understand, you can feel comfortable? Of course not, right? Sometimes I'm in meeting with, you know, other workers in church and stuff. And sometimes they forget that I'm on the phone, right? They start to speak Chinese, this and that, right? And then they ask, oh, no, Pastor Budi's on the phone. So they start to speak English again, right? But for me, I'm so used to it, I don't mind, right? I don't mind. But usually, you're just so uncomfortable, right? When you go to a place, they don't speak the language and things like that. So that's why when true seekers come to a church, don't expect them, right? Don't expect them to feel like, oh, everything is so good, isn't that? Of course. We hope that is the case if God moved their hearts. But at the same time, we cannot stop from speaking. We cannot stop from praying. Because this is a language. Right? If you want God to move their hearts, what must you do? You pray to God. God, please open this person's heart. So they can come to understand you. They can come to experience you also. But if you don't want to pray, oh, if we pray, we're going to scare the people away, right? Sometimes that's what we think, right? So that's why when we have friends and true seekers come to our church, maybe we shouldn't pray in the spirit at all. And pray in the spirit at all. Right? Is this a good way? It's not. Because the Holy Spirit is a spirit of what? The Holy Spirit is a spirit of what? Huh? There's a spirit of God, and then what? Spirit of truth, yes, and what? A spirit of scare people away? Is that the Holy Spirit? No. It's a spirit of comforter. It comforts people. Do you understand? So if you and I feel that praying in the spirit scare people away, then it's our own minds, own doubt, because the Bible never say that. You understand? The Holy Spirit is a spirit that comforts others. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. So if we want people who come to our church to be comforted, to know the truth, we must kneel down and pray. But quite often, actually, we don't have that kind of mentality. The minute we have friends and true seekers come to church, of course, we do our best. Whoever you know, if you bring friends and true seekers come to church, make sure you explain to them ahead of time, right? Try your best to explain to them that we pray in the spirit and things like that. But we should not stop doing what we're doing because we're afraid of the Holy Spirit scaring others. Because the minute that you feel that the Holy Spirit will scare others, then God cannot work with us. Because we have no faith, right? But if we have faith, you know, when my adopted father came to our church the first time, this was in Boston, and it was in the basement of a building. So when he came to church with us, then we prayed in the spirit. And all this time, he never turned back to church. So I thought something must have happened. And then when he had cancer, he was in the hospital. And he said to me, Woody, remember that time I went to your church and you guys were making those noises? He said, during that time, I thought I was going crazy. That's what he said to cheer me. He said, what happened during that time? I feel this fire came upon me and wind was blown at me, right? When I heard that, oh, I really praise and thank God. I told him that is the Holy Spirit. God moved you during that time, but for him, he didn't understand, right? How can he feel fire in the basement? How can he feel this great wind that came upon him in the basement? Actually, God wanted to choose him since the beginning. But now when my father said it to me, I read Acts chapter 2 to him, then thank God, right? His eyes were open. So that's why we never know. The same thing when I first came to church. I went. One of the sisters had a fellowship at MIT, right? And the time I went there, and of course, when the sister never explained to me how, you know, how they pray and stuff like that. So on the end of Bible study, she just said, oh, let's kneel down and pray. And then when, of course, when I kneel down and pray, all I open my eyes to see what's going on, right? Oh, I look, it's like, oh, wow. I say, why does sister look so weird, right? Why does she move around? Of course, the sister's moving like this and she's praying, right? I'm just thinking, she's pretty normal when she's working with me, right? And now why is she shaking her body and making this noise and stuff like that, right? So during that time, I didn't want to come to church anymore, right? I said, oh, that is the last time I'm going to go to church. Go to have fellowship with them. So the next Friday, but I know the sister, she's very consistent. Right? I know she's going to call me to go to church. So because of this, I planned that, you know, because during the time my wife, she was in a study in France. So I was saying to myself, well, I'll go to the movie. And this movie's, things start at 6 o'clock. This movie's 3 hours movie. I don't know what it was. But from 6 to 9, by 9 o'clock, the Bible study would be over, right? So when I got out of the movies and I came out, then my phone rang at 9 o'clock. And this was the sister, right? They called me. And the sister asked me, Vudi, you come to Bible study? I'm like, 9 o'clock is already late, right? It's already over. She's like, no, tonight we started late, so we didn't start the Bible yet, right? Bible study yet. I'm like, oh. I say, I'm really hungry. I need to go get something to eat, right? So I cannot make it. She said, oh, that is great, because we have a hot pot tonight, right? We have this hot pot. And for me, I never say no to free food, right? So I'm like, okay. So I went there, right? But you know what? I realized one thing. Even though for myself, I didn't want to go back, but I'm sure those sisters prayed for me. You understand? Because they prayed for me. God listened to their prayer. And that's why I'm here with you today. But what happened if they didn't pray in the Spirit? I would still find a reason not to go. You understand? Because it's boring to go there, right? I didn't say for an hour, I didn't say one word just sitting there listening, right? To find a young sister talking, right? And I know nothing about the Bible, right? So it's boring to me, right? But God has his own plan. So don't be afraid, brothers and sisters, right? Because the way to speak the language, universal language, is through the Holy Spirit. So in other words, if true seeker and friends come to our church, they do not understand. So we must ask God to move them with the Holy Spirit so they also can understand what's going on. So never afraid. Be never afraid of praying in the Spirit, especially for friends and true seeker. Let's all rise and sing one hymn. 409.